If you get there quick and you're good at finding things in your Bible, you might want to also turn to Titus in chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 also. John 17 is the main spot where we'll be in, then Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read Titus 2:14 first. It says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Who gave himself for us, that's Jesus, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's pretty simple. He wants to save you from your sin. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So he wants to purify, cleanse a people to himself. And so it's not only purifying themselves, but purifying them to him. A peculiar people, a people who are different, it says. A peculiar, different. So he wants us peculiar. And I don't mean we're weird in our personality, but different. And that's what it says here. And John 17 and verse 6. Just to read this, what would Jesus pray for us? We call Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're all familiar with that. That's an example prayer is a better term for that. The Lord's Prayer is probably right here. We would call this in John 17. Jesus is getting ready. He just told the disciples everything that's going to happen with him dying. And he says, I'm going to be going and all this stuff's going to happen and leave you with the Holy Spirit. But then he says in John 17, he goes alone and prays the Father and kind of leaves at last, Father, I've done what you want. And now I'm praying for the believers for the rest of time until I come back that you'll do some things for them. So what do you think Jesus would pray for us? We pray for people all the time, and we pray all kinds of things for people. We pray for God to heal them. We pray for God to bless their life or for them to be saved or for many things we pray for. Jesus, he begins to pray, and I think if he would know what to pray for people, Jesus knows what we need. And so he begins to pray in John 17, and I want you to see what he prays for us. And then one of the subjects he prays for is what I want to focus on today, although we'll look at some other ones. And we're going to start in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And this isn't what I'm preaching on today, but understanding the scriptures, we kind of don't, an evangelistic church doesn't do it this way, for whatever reason, but it's biblical. God prioritizes believers. He says, I'm not praying for the world, I'm praying for those you've given me. The Bible says it's good to, you should do good to all men, but especially unto those that are of the household of faith. In other words, I'm supposed to feed a lost person and help a lost person, but especially if there's another brother or sister, we're supposed to meet their needs, other Christians. We're supposed to, and not to the detriment of the world, certainly we're supposed to help the world and feed them and do all the things we're supposed to do, but we shouldn't forget the church itself, and we shouldn't be all the time praying for a lost world when our brothers and sisters are struggling and having a hard time. Just like I want to take care of your family, but my priority would start with my family, and that's biblical. And I would start with my family, and if I couldn't take care of my family, I wouldn't take care of your family if I was neglecting my family. And so we are supposed to take care of God's people first and pray for it. And Jesus, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for mine. And so that's what he's praying for. Verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, and that's Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, that these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be as one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I'm going to talk several things about what Jesus prayed about, but the main subject is, why do you separate? Being separated is part of what we're talking about here. Let's pray together. And Father, I pray today that you'd help and speak to us, Lord. We know that without you, we can do nothing. We know we need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. And we know your word, Father, as we just read in verse 17, sanctifies us, Lord. And I pray the truth today would be sanctified, and you'd speak to us, and you'd convict us and draw us to you. I pray that I would speak only what you would have me to speak, and I pray you'd give me wisdom of what that is. Control my mind, tongue, and body, and help us to be attentive to your word this morning, Father. We just thank you that we get to be together. Thank you for the wonderful words and the prayer of Jesus Christ here, Lord. And I pray as we study your scripture, we would understand what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's several things. He starts off with that we were given to God out of the world. In verse 6, it says, I have manifested thy name unto them which thou gavest me out of the world. He starts off with that. We are out of the world. He says, and then he prays that they may be one. Verse 11. And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, that those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Verse 21. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He starts off saying, I thank you, God, you've given me these out of the world, and I thank you, you've given me these people, and I'm praying for these you've given me, and I've kept them. And so not only have you given them to me, but I have kept them with me, and thank God that Jesus keeps us, because we would definitely lose him if it was all up to us. And he kept them through his name. He says also that he prays that they'll be one. And he says, Father, I want them to be one, even as we are one. And one of the things that God, well, as a parent of six kids, when your children aren't on the same page and are fighting, it frustrates parents. I don't know why. It bothers me worse if my kids are fighting than it bothers me if the kids are fighting me. I can't stand that my kids are fighting. And having strong-willed kids, like their mother, having strong-willed kids, like me, they want their own thing. And it's grievous, and it's hard, and it's tough when they fight. You don't want to see them. And can I tell you, we have enough fights as Christians out there without fighting one another. We got the devil to fight, we got the world to fight, we got sin to fight, we got ourselves to fight. The struggling of Romans 7, where Paul says, that which is in me is no good, and I got to fight this thing all the time. We've got the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and all these things. And he says, I want them to be one, even as we are one. If I get you guys in the back row, back in the back there, if I can get you guys to pay attention up here, you guys been the whole time, I keep you guys paying attention. And he says, I want you to be one, even as we are one. I want you to be that way. And so he's praying for us to be one, and that's very important. And he says that twice. And then he says that they might know my joy. Verse 13, it says, and now come I to thee, that these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And in the end of chapter 16, verse 33, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And all through John 14, 15, and 16, he says, I want you to have my joy in you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, he says in John 15. And so Jesus says, I want you to have fullness of joy. I really want them to have my joy in them, because they're going to have troubles. And so one of the things Jesus wants you to have is joy. He doesn't ever tell you to have happiness. He tells you to have joy. And joy is that deep, abiding, deep down inside fruit that comes from God. It's not an emotion. Emotions change all the time. Joy is a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And he wants us to have joy. And that's one of the things Jesus wants you to have. He wants you to have joy. And it's the will of God that you have joy. You are not supposed to be miserable. You're not supposed to be hopeless. In the worst case in this entire world, which we usually don't have in America, you still have a home in heaven and an eternity and joy and fullness of joy and bliss. And he wants us to have joy. And again, these are just some things that he prays for us. And we're just mentioning that, but it's not where we're focused because it's a bunch of different sermons. And then he wants us to keep us out of the world and out of the evil of the world. Verse 14, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Understand, Jesus was a visitor. Jesus came down to earth because he wanted to save mankind, but he was from heaven, and he was not of the world. And of the world almost denotes a birth of an ownership of this child is of me. And Jesus calls the Pharisees twofold children of hell in John chapter 8. And he says, they are not of this world. They are not part of this world. I took them out of the world. He starts off in verse 6. And it says, which thou hast given me out of the world. He says, I want them out of the world. They are not of the world, just like I'm not of the world. I'm different. I'm separated. I'm from heaven. The Bible tells us our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're not of this world. He says they are in the world in verse 12 and 13, but then he says they are not of the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now he says that again to the Father. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He says, they are not of the world. They are not part of this world system. They are separated from the world. I took them out of the world when I saved them, and they are mine. It, just like Titus chapter 2 said, it says that he might separate unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He says, I'm taking them out of this world, not that they can be out of the evil of the world. He prays that later. He says, you can't, in order not to be in the world, you have to take them out, and not to be around the evil, but that thou should keep them from the evil. And then he prays to have us cleansed in verse 17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through thy truth. The word sanctified means set apart. He says, I want them set apart and clean. There are things in your house that are always going to be dirty. Your front porch floor mat. Okay, that's supposed to be dirty. You don't put that on your table and eat your food off of it. It's not for that. It's set aside to be that way. Maybe you do. You go and there's certain things you use. There's certain tools you use for certain things. Hopefully, you separate those things. I remember a pastor. He was in Oregon. He was at some folks in the country, and they were so excited about their milk because they milked their own cows. And they had milked their cows, and they were all excited. You got to taste our milk. These are from our cows, and they're all sitting on the table, and they drank the milk, and then he says, "Okay, kids, get your milk together." And he took his big jug for the milk, and all the kids poured their milk back in that they didn't drink, and they went, "Ugh," don't do that. That's probably where they got the milk before. You want things clean and set apart and used for certain things and sanctified. He says, I want my people set apart and clean. In the temple, they would go through a process of sanctifying the vessels, where they'd be ready to be used in the temple for God's use. They're supposed to be sanctified, clean, and set apart. And in these things, he says, I want them out of this world and set apart and clean. I want them out of this world. They're not of this world. And today I want to talk about why. When did you separate? Obviously, Jesus wanted us separated from the world. I'll give you a bunch of verses on this. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unspotted. I go back and forth all the time. People who know me sometimes when I'm working on a car or doing things, they'll see me, and then they'll see me in a suit and be stunned and say, "Oh man, I didn't know you dress nice sometimes," because I'm very comfortable in those things. Then I'll see somebody else who sees me in a suit, like on Sunday, and then they'll see me in jeans and a t-shirt and or a flannel shirt or something. They say, "I didn't know you dressed like that." But I do them for different purposes. When I'm dressed like this, I don't go to the junkyard and pull parts. Don't you hate when you have to do that, though? Occasionally, you're dressed nice, you have to go work on something. That happens sometimes. But these things are set apart for church. I wouldn't wear this thing unless I had to. It's torture. But it's for certain purposes you use these things. And you use these, and the other things, like, do you have clothes? Like, I got some clothes that are so nasty. My wife tries to get me to throw them away. So nasty and so torn up, but they're for certain jobs. My wife says, "Honey, you can't even wash it anymore. It's so destroyed. It's so nasty and so dirty." I said, "I like it. It's my friend. I've had it for a long time. And I like it. And I wear that thing, and it's already stained. I'm not going to notice it. I can get it grungy. I don't care if it gets torn. It doesn't matter because it's set aside for that part." And God says, "I want you so sanctified. I want you unspotted from the world. I didn't want a little dab on you from this world." Wow. That's separated from the world. Unspotted from the world. 2 Corinthians, let's go to 2 Corinthians, and this is a passage we'll spend a little bit of time on. Unspotted from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We see that Jesus prayed that we would be kept out of this world and be of heaven and not of earth and sanctified from this world. We're supposed to be unspotted from the world. Verse 14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be to you a father, and shall be to and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." My children ask us a question, we're on vacation, and it was a very profound question, and I wish they didn't have asked this question. They asked me a question. It was a very important question to me. I said, "Dad, how come everywhere we go, and this includes people's homes and preachers' homes, which is what brought this question up, how come everywhere we go, we're more conservative than everybody in everything? I mean, the shows, the music, the everything, we're more conservative." So I'm glad they asked that question. And I wish that's not true. Not everybody I'm around, am I more conservative than? I don't feel very conservative. I'm very liberal 60 years ago among Christians. But Christians are so like the world now that if you just have a little bit of holiness, you stand out like a sore thumb. It's kind of sad. I wish that weren't the truth. It says how far we're supposed to go. We're supposed to be unspotted. It's a good question. We got to answer the question and explain that to them. But look what it says there, verse 17. "Wherefore, come up from among them," talking about the unsaved in verse 14, "and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I was working on the dock one time, and I unloaded the trailers, and we had a pallet tip over. And this pallet tipped over and smashed a bunch of stuff in the middle. They just stacked it wrong. And I walk on there, and I'm getting ready to unload, and I see the edge of a box sticking out, and we're trained with hazardous material, and we hauled a lot of it. But on the edge of this box, you have these labels, and you got these labels for hazardous material, and they had all these different numbers and labels and everything. And I noticed this box that was smashed had a skull on it, which is never a good sign. And it said, had all these warnings, all kinds of, it wasn't a big box, and it was going to a scientific company. And it said, "Danger," "bacterial infectious substance." And I looked at the box and it was flattened. And I walked off the dock and I walk up into the office and I go to our guy who deals with hazardous material. And I said, "Hey, we got a box on there. It's flattened and it's smashed by his stuff. And it says bacterial infectious substance or bacterial airborne infectious substance." And he says, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's just probably some kind of culture." And, you know, he says, "But don't worry about it. It's probably fine." I said, you don't worry about it. It's probably fine. I said, I have more kids than you. You go do it. And I said, I can get another job. And I can find me another job. I'm not going to go deal with that box there. And he's like, you got to do that. I said, I don't got to go out there and deal with it. I said, do you want to call 911 and see how they react to this thing? Because when you call on those things, here they come, and you get all kinds of things that shut the neighborhood down and everything else. And I said, you can fire me, which you can't, but you can fire me, but I'm not going in there and fixing that box. I said, I don't feel like breathing dangerous bacterial infection substances. He grumbles, he walks in there, and he goes, and it turned out that it was packed really well in styrofoam, and it didn't break, whatever it was, and it wasn't something that really was all that dangerous as some of the stuff we hauled was. But, you know, I thought, you know, it's not a very big box, but I really don't want to have that on me or in me or around me. I'm not even going to go in the trailer anymore. Would to God we were that afraid of sinfulness and worldliness and ungodliness. Because that stuff we kind of juggle and play with and say, well, I probably shouldn't do it, but you know, it's not that big a deal, and everybody does. You know how dangerous sin is? The Bible says, flee youthful lusts. And I know that sounds kind of strange to be that careful and that cautious, but it seems like it says, touch not the unclean thing in verse 7. And I will be to you a father to you, and ye shall be my sons. We'll get back to that, saith the Almighty. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Perfecting holiness? Do you feel like your holiness is perfected? But that's a command of God. Why do we think that Old Testament is holiness and New Testament is freedom? Yes, there's liberty in the New Testament, but that says perfecting holiness in the New Testament. The New Testament says keep oneself unspotted from the world. Come out from among them, be ye separate. It's a lot of stuff where it says this. 1 Peter 1:14 and 15 says, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts, making and forming ourselves according to this world. Romans 12:1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can I ask you a question today? All these verses say we're supposed to separate from the world. Come up from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. That's a command of God in 2 Corinthians 6. When did you separate from the world? Ask you that. When did you separate from the world? Because I think if you don't do it on purpose, you will stay in the world. I think if you don't make that separation, you say, I don't have to make a conscious thing. It's just kind of, you know, I'm, what if we did that in our relationships in life? When I got married, I said 18 and a half years ago, we said, I do and keep thee only unto her. I separated from all other women. You wouldn't think very highly of me if I continued to have the same relationship with other women that I'd had, women's that I had before. Not there wasn't that many. That I had before. You would think, that's not moral, that's not ethical. You shouldn't be calling that old girlfriend, you shouldn't be spending time with her, you shouldn't go out on a date with that girl again. You know what? I'm with my wife still. My wife's number one. I just keep these other ones too. How would that go over? Called rolling pin time. if I was lucky, hide the gun. Because I separated to her only. I separated to her only, and that's a separation. When did you separate to God? God wanted you to be separate. He prayed that we'd be separate and we'd be out of this world and keep from the evil thereof. I think that old song, I don't hear it sung very much in church anymore, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Boy, that is not sung for many reasons in church anymore. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. We've embraced the world many times as Christians. Churches have turned to worldliness as the normal, as we want to be like the world. We're trying to be like the world. And the Bible says, be all things to all men culturally, to the Jew as a Jew, and to the Gentile as a Gentile, the barbarian as a Greek as a Greek, and that's fine. But it does not say we're supposed to be like them in the morality. We're supposed to be separate from the world. So it's fine. I can talk to somebody about the Mariners, or I can talk to somebody about sports, or I can talk to somebody about quads or whatever. That's not moral things. We brought the immorality into the church and says, we're like you. And God says, whoa, I prayed that would never happen. And in our own lives, we say, you know, we're like everybody else. They're all doing it. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's okay. This world keeps getting farther and farther from godliness. 60 years ago, you lived like the world. 70 years ago, and watched Leave It to Beaver, and you weren't in too much trouble. You could almost leave the TV on and be okay. Because next came Lone Ranger. Hi-yo, Silver! And, you know, if they watch it, okay. I don't have cable TV. I don't have a TV for 6 years, first 6 years of marriage. But you know what? I can't leave the TV on. Regular TV. I can't leave the commercials on. And Christianity can become so callous because we see so much immorality. And listen, I try to keep all this stuff away from me. I try not to have bad things, watch bad things, read bad things, see bad things. But this world's full of evil everywhere. And there's, I mean, I go by a candy bar and I got to see 75 half-dressed women in the check stand. No, I didn't count as an estimate. And you guys are awful. But that's what I'm talking about. But you see that there's things everywhere that are terrible and immoral, and we get so used to it that we get weighed down at the world's immorality and say, well, I'm not as bad. I'm not as bad as some things, and I'm not as bad as a lot of my neighbors are really bad. But don't, the world was here 50 years ago, and Christians were here. And the world went this way, and Christians said, I'm not worldly, look. I'm not like the world, I'm way over here, I'm way different than the world. You're where the world was 50 years ago. And then the world went way over here, and now if we went to an unsaved person 100 years ago, and talk like we talked, and showed them what we watched, and showed them what we read, they'd say, oh, you're evil. An unsaved person. Do you know what? Oh, I get myself in trouble today. Separate. Get yourself separate from this world. Have you separated from the world and its ways? Let me show you a good picture of this in the Old Testament. If you go back to Exodus chapter 8, illustrate this a little bit to you. When did you separate from this world? Are you a part of this world? Do you get your morality, your thought process from this world? The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Has your mind been renewed from worldly thinking? Secular thinking? Are you just parroting what you've been taught your whole life? Do you get your style from this world? Do you get your music from this world? Do you get your clothing, what's appropriate to wear from this world? Or do you get it from 1 Peter? Do you get it from Proverbs? Do you get your language from the world? There's a lot of things we could ask. But I want to ask the general subject of separation. Are you still worldly? Exodus chapter 8. God said, I want my people to go out and be free and serve me. He kept saying this, Pharaoh, let my people go that they may go in the wilderness and serve me. And Pharaoh said, no. But then Pharaoh began to compromise as the plagues came. And in chapter 8, verse 25, it said, Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Okay? So, they're in Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world. Pharaoh's a picture of the devil. Israel's a picture of a Christian. That's throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. And Hebrews talks about it. So, God says, come out of Egypt, world, and come and do sacrifice and serve me. And tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Pharaoh says, you may not. Plagues come. Pharaoh says, okay, fine. I can't keep you here. So go serve God, but just do not leave the land. And what does Moses say? Nope. We're not going to do that. Moses said, verse 26, it is not meet to do so. For we shall sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will not they stone us? We will go 3 days' journey in the wilderness. We'll leave, or we'll do nothing. He said, nope. And they said, okay, more plagues. And it happened. verse 20, if you go forward to chapter 9, it goes a little farther. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, let my people go that they may serve me. Chapter 10, verse 8, it says, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh and said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we'll all go. My sons, daughters, everybody with us, we'll all go. And verse 10, and he said, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for the evil is before you. Not so. Go to now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye desire, and they're driven from Pharaoh's presence. He says, nope, everybody's not going to go. You can take the men and take the children, but don't take the women. He says, you men want to go, it's fine with us, but we want to keep you attached, and you got to come back. Now, some men said, hey, that sounds good to me, Moses, with some of their wives, but a bunch of them said, nope, we're going to go, all of us, all the way out or nothing. Can't do it. Plagues come again. Same chapter, verse 24. Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Fine. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Take your little ones with you. Take the kids, it's fine. But just keep your flocks and herds behind. And Moses says, thou must give us a sacrifice and burnt offerings. We got to take them also, or we will not go. And he says, then you cannot go. And he says, okay, we got the big plague coming. You're going to let us go all the way. And they did go all the way, and they were separated from Egypt, and they were all the way separated. And I think the devil, sometimes when you're saved, he can't get you to go all the way in your old worldly ways, but he'll let you go a little way. Okay, fine. You can still go to church, but just don't really change your life. Well, you're not separated yet. Okay, you can go to church, and you can even go and quit cussing. But I want you to keep on listening to the same music, and I want you to keep on dressing the same way, and I want you to keep on hanging around the same friends. That's all the farther I'll let you go. God wants you all the way free serving Him. God wants you to be unencumbered by the world and by the worldly thinking and by the worldly ways. And He says, I want you separate, different. I'm not saying you have to wear a tie all the time. I'm not saying you have to, I'm not talking about that. A tie is not a moral thing. A pair of tennis shoes or not a pair of tennis shoes is not a moral thing. But there is a whole bunch of moral things we're supposed to be separated, and especially in our mind, in our thinking, in our love, in our lifestyle, in our conversation. The world is not supposed to spot us in our morality, in the way we do things, or anything else like that. Let me just say this. You separated from something to something. You separated to something from something. let me read you. It's a verse out of Hosea. I won't have you turn there because it's hard to find, but it's Hosea 8:10. Israel separated themselves unto that shame, it says. They separated themselves unto that shame. Let me take you to back. If you're still got 2 Corinthians there, I want to take you there for just a sec, and then I'm going to illustrate it a little bit to you and finish up. I don't think you need to be weird and unapproachable in order to be separated. I think you can be able to talk to people in normal, but I do think you're different and unspotted and peculiar. You will stand out if you're a separated, real, godly Christian in this world. You'll stand out. And you know what? That's a really good thing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16 says. We want to be so different, the world says, look at that, that is different. I want what they have. Philippian jailer said that, what must I do to be saved, fellas? You guys are praising God at midnight when you're beaten. You guys got something I want. Let your light so shine before men. We're supposed to be separated. And when did you separate? You got to decide when you separate from something to something, and you separated from the world to God. And by the way, real, real important, it's not enough to separate from this world to nothing. If you just separate from sin and do nothing, you'll be worse off. The Bible says a man had one demon, cleaned his house out, and got 7 back, and he was worse off than before. You cannot separate from it. You got to separate to God. I didn't separate from women to nothing. I separated from women to my wife. Okay? And you got to decide, is the benefit of separating, because Israel separated themselves. They decided to do so much evil. They separated their lives unto that. And there are people in our culture who are bent toward evil, and they've separated themselves. And by the way, if you don't think everybody practices separation, you're not very observant. Christians are the only ones who are separated. Have you seen the people who listen to grunge music? They're separated. You've seen people who listen to rap music? Have you seen rappers? They're separated. They're separated unto their lifestyle. You've seen people who listen to country music and live the country music lifestyle? They're separated to that. They dress a certain way. You can look at them and say, look at those boots. Look at that hat. Look at that bottle of Budweiser. You're separated. It's a lifestyle. Follow what I'm saying? Okay? There are people separated. Listen, the weirdos who go down to the Star Wars convention and dress like a Wookiee are separated to that. They're separated to that. And you know, people separate to all kinds of weird things. Their favorite rock star, their favorite sports teams, they buy all their stuff. They go to every game. They're go on huge road trips. You separate to something to your life. You separate to that lifestyle. Some people, it's their politics, it's whatever. I want to be separated to heaven. And out of this world where God says, you fit in real good here, and you know what? You're unspotted from that old world. You didn't take the world with you and try to bring it in here. I like that. And you're separated. Look at the benefits of being separated to God. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore, come up from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Many Christians do not feel that they have the intimate father, son, and daughter relationship with God the Father. They know God's real, they know He's the right way, but they don't feel close and like a child of God, like He takes care of them. Why? Because God has not promised that to every believer. Every believer who is saved is born again and going to heaven, but they don't have that intimate relationship with God. He says, those that separate unto me get that there. It says, come up from among them and be separate, and I will become a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters. Say the Lord Almighty, chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these amazing promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So when I separated from other women, I got my wife, and that was worth it. I'm separated to one woman. I'm not close to any other women. I got one woman, and I'm happy with that, and that's thrilling and exciting, and I want that, and that's what I want. I chose to separate from the women to get her, and that's what I did. And when you separate from the world, you separate unto God, and you get close to God, because God does not want the worldliness. He does not want you to be like the world. And you've got to make a choice to go from one thing to the other, and you got to decide, is it worth it? Is giving up my worldliness that I gave up when I was 16 and 17 years old, was it worth it to get close to God? And can I say resounding, getting close to God is worth it? Let me illustrate this here. Brian and Josiah, come on up here. So, Brian's going to be God here. Forgive me. You go over here. Josiah comes over here. And so, I'm deciding, this is my old lifestyle here. This is my old sin and my old lifestyle, and I'm all wrapped up in it. I like it, and this is what I like here, and God calls me to be separated unto Him. Okay? They're a long way apart. Until we have revival in America and this world becomes a godly nation again, they're a long way apart. So, He calls me to separation. Okay? Ready? He's not going to come here. God will not come here. The Lord is too holy as to behold iniquity. Okay? Jesus came into the world but never sinned. He was a friend of sinners and took them out of sin. If I want God and to be close to Him, I've got to separate from this one, just like I have to separate from other women. So I got to decide, do I want Him? Many people are trying to do this. And you know what? James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Christians, the enemies of God, when they don't separate. You guys can be seated. I got to decide, is the benefit of getting close to Him worth separating from Him? And do I want worldliness and to be hip, and do I want to do the worldly things and watch the worldly things and talk the worldly talk and act like the world acts? Do I want to, when they start telling the dirty jokes, do I want to just sit there and laugh with them because I don't want to stand out from the world? Or do I want to be separated to God? Do you want to be separated to God? It's a great question. When were you separated? Pick a side. Luke 11:13, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. Come up from among them, be ye separate, and I will be to you a father, and I will receive you. Notice that. I will receive you. And will be to you a father, and ye shall be my sons. What a great promise. Having therefore these promises, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. We want to be as Christians. And by the way, this is basic Bible doctrine, and every Christian preached this 50 years ago. You can go to Nazarene, Presbyterian, Baptist. You can go to a Bible church, a community church. Every church preached separation 50 years ago. And D.L. Moody used to say this. He said, the world is like the ocean, and the church is like a boat. It's fine that the boat is in the ocean. It's not fine when the ocean's in the boat. That's what D.L. Moody used to say. Okay. Somewhere along the way, we decided to embrace the world and its ways and say, we've got to take that in unto us and become like them to reach them. No, they have what they have. I talked to a worldly guy one time, and he said, you know what? If I wanted to go to listen to rock music, I'm not going to go in the church. They never played as good. It's not nearly as good. It's kind of corny as the world's music. I got better music than that at home. And you know, the thing is the world's already got the worldliness. They want something different. You know one of the things that it says you're separated unto God in love. Hereby shall all men know that you're my disciples and that you have love one for another. You know, if we have the kind of love we're supposed to have, the world will look at us and say, wow, you're different. That's separation from the world. Well, man, they did this to me and they did that to me and they deserve this. You're talking like the world. And you're not separated from the world in the way you love. In the way you talk. There's so many areas where just finally one day you just get so sick of the world and the old life. Say, I'm tired of the world. You know what? This world is empty. I'm done with it. I'm going to live for God. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm with you, Jesus. I don't care about the old world. It's just gone. I'm going to live for Jesus and for eternity. When you do that and just make a clean break from the world, you get close to God. But when you try to embrace the old life and the old sin and the old worldliness and just try to be like everybody else, everybody else is watching that. Everybody else is talking like that. Everybody else is dressing like that. And these are moral issues. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, Psalm says. When you try to embrace both those things and you don't separate yourself and say, and by the way, I'm still trying to separate and be more and more holy. I'm still not there. A lot of worldliness sticking to me. And you're unspotted from the world. Then God says, I'm going to embrace you because now you're not icky anymore. When did you separate from the world? When did you say, I'm done with this world, I'm living for God, I'm living for eternity, I'm going to be different? You witness, you better be separated because you're going to look weird. Give somebody a Bible, you're going to look strange. Don't tell the dirty jokes at work, you'll look strange. Play Christian music instead of the stuff that's played nowadays, you're going to look strange. You got to separate. You got to be different. God wants us to look like Jesus and be different like him. He stood out in his generation. He prayed that we'd be out of this world and kept from the evil of it. Let's try to fulfill his prayer by making the right decisions. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that all of us would decide we want to be separate Christians. We wouldn't base our morality on what everybody else is doing, but what you want us to do. I pray we'd shine like godly Christians, not just in what we wear and how we talk and who we hang around, Father, but in our joy, in our love. Lord, there's so many areas of Christian life that are so different from this world. And so many, Lord, it's heaven and it's the world. And you told us to be separate. And you took us out of this world. The Father gave Jesus, Lord, you gave us out of this world.